The Grillin' Guy.
Welcome back. You're listening to Grillin' Guys on the Grillin' Guys Talk Network. Hey, it is a little chilly out where we are, and hopefully you made it through the ice box we had this past week. Grillin' Guys still have their grills out, but we are practical. Bob, we want to talk a little bit about cast iron. Where do you want to go with that?
There's something about coming in from the cold and having a nice, first of all, to walk into your house and the aromas hit you.
Right.
If the people cooking know what they're doing, the aromas are fantastic.
Right.
And that's who we're really talking to. Because if they don't know what they're doing, they need to listen even more because we're trying to help you.
Right.
And I think the people that listen to this show tend to be really good at what they do.
Sure. Well, at least, or maybe getting a little better if we can impart a little bit of knowledge. Before we get with recipes, cast iron is one of those things that is a freak of nature because you don't really, if you have it seasoned well, you don't need a lot of butter or lubricant or anything on the product that you're cooking because it's a naturally nonstick surface, right? But it has to be seasoned. And let's talk a little bit about that because I think you can ruin a lot of things if it isn't seasoned properly.
You mean like if it's brand new?
Yeah, or if you've washed it. I've loaned them out. We'll take something to somebody's house and leave it there.
No, wash it with soap.
Yeah, and it comes.
Oh, I took Dawn to it.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
you absolutely killed it.
Yeah, so
that's one reason to keep bacon grease in your refrigerator.
Right,
because you can just wipe that on it and throw it in the oven for 15, 20 minutes, and let that season it and get that patina going again.
Yeah. So what do you what temperature do you do that at?
Maybe 300-400.
Right. And you're going to leave it in there for 15, 20 minutes. What you're trying to do?
I think the hotter, the better, probably, because you're trying to expand the particles in the iron.
Right. And then when it cools down, it hardens and it becomes nonstick.
Right. And what some people might not know is that iron is actually somewhat porous.
Right.
So it absorbs whatever you're cooking. And if you wash it with a strong detergent like Dawn, it's going to absorb that. And it's going to go in. And Dawn cuts fat and grease. And it's actually the fats that are building up the protection for that cast iron. If you go to somebody's house and you see their cast iron rusting, you know they're screwing up.
Right.
Because they cleaned it too much. That's why Lodge cells are really cool. I got one for Christmas. Really cool. It looks like a sponge, but it's got this chain mesh around it.
Right.
And you just use hot water and you scrub your pan out with that, turn it upside down, let it dry.
Yeah.
Don't destroy all the fat buildup that's in that porous pan.
You will get much better results if you leave that in there.
And for women in particular who need iron, cooking on cast iron actually does infuse iron into your food.
Yep.
So that's kind of a best kept secret. That's a good health tip.
So the one last thing on this cleaning, because I had to teach Lisa this. She had never used cast before, and now that's all we use in our kitchen. I got four skillets and a Dutch oven. We'll touch on that in a minute.
But has she used one on your head yet?
No, but I ducked. But the washing of it, she was like, oh, we got to wash that out with the soap. No, hot water. Don't burn your hand, but it's about as hot as you can stand in that little chain thing. But get all the food particles that you can see.
Well, here's another big tip. Do it when it's hot.
Right.
Not red hot.
Right.
But when it's nice and warm, a little water on there and things just slide out like it's Teflon, but it doesn't kill you.
Right. And the thing is the next time that you're going to cook with it, it's going to be so hot, there's no bacteria in there. I mean, it's going to kill anything that was ever on it before you put anything in the pan, because now we're going to talk about warming that cast iron up before you use it.
Yes, and speaking of Teflon, I saw a great movie maybe a month or two ago that's pretty new, and it's all about how the Teflon came in and how they were hiding the evidence of what that does to your health and how it flakes off the pan. I immediately threw out the last two pieces of Teflon in our house.
Yeah. Yep.
And the Teflon was flaking.
Sure.
And I kept telling my wife, please don't use it, please don't use it. And she loves that little Teflon pan, but I don't think it's good.
She's gone now.
It is.
Yeah.
So one of the things you can do is dig through your freezer this time of year, because maybe you're not going shopping as much. Like right now, when the snow is hitting, you just don't feel like trodding through the snow and fighting off the hordes in the supermarket. And so you're going to start digging through your freezer, and most of you have a freezer or two. And if you're a hunter in particular, your processor might have cut out some of the venison as roasts.
Right.
And you never know what to do with them, because it's like half the people in your house are probably saying, "Yeah, Dad, I'm sick of venison," or "I hate the way you make venison," or "I never did like it." And a lot of that's due to how you took care of the animal when you took it. So let's say you did a good job and you got it cooled off and you got it cleaned up and you processed it and you end up with some nice, what we call a knuckle. That is built for a Dutch oven.
Mm-hmm.
And
why is that?
Well, because it's going to take a long time to cook. You're going to want to roast that thing low and slow, 3, 3 1/4, with a bunch of onions and garlic and maybe whatever your favorite juices are. Not too much, but it's going to need something. The onions will provide some.
But maybe like a beef bouillon or something like that.
That'd be wonderful, a little right. Beef broth.
Yep.
And just bring that thing up to, I'm saying, 190 degrees.
Yeah.
In the middle. Use your thermopen. And that is going to impart a flavor. And you're going to want to use a lot of sea salt on top of it when you put it in.
Venison, you're not very
gonna,
lean.
You're not going to turn it over. And if you want to throw some bacon on top, that won't hurt a thing.
Right, right. You're just trying to impart a little bit of flavor to it. But then when if you get it to that 190, it will kind of pull apart.
Like a brisket.
Right, yep.
Very similar to brisket.
Yeah.
That dense, tough meat.
Yep.
But you don't want to overdo it. And that's why the Dutch oven is so nice. You know, they should make a cast piece for a brisket. So when you're done smoking it, you can throw it in a nice big cast piece and finish it off without worrying about wrapping it.
Right.
Because that's when you can hydrate it.
Yep.
So if it's that, or a rump roast is the same way. If you don't shoot deer, if you don't like eating venison or elk or moose.
Or don't have any.
But you.
Like me.
But you have maybe went halves like I do on a cow. And you always end up with a rump roast.
Right.
They can be kind of cantankerous. You can do the rump roast the same way because it's from the rear end of the cow, so it doesn't have the flavor that the front end, the chuck flavor that the front end does. So it tends to be a little boring. And that's why when you see shaved beef, it's always from that rear knuckle. It's mm-hmm. not.
When you say knuckle, that's a roast. That's just a
butcher
term. Yeah,
it's the hip joint. It's right. The it's the part that has a lot of connective tissue that people don't really want to try and make a steak out of because it's a little tough. It's very lean. And the fat always ends up on the front end of the animal for some reason.
Yeah.
I guess, you know,
yep.
Their butts stay warm.
Well, closer to the heart and everything gets taken out of the blood.
I don't know.
Stuff. Right.
And I don't pretend to, but I just know that that piece, that rump roast, can be ruined very easily.
Well,
and that's one you want to make sure you're covering, and that's where the Dutch oven is just perfect.
Right.
Because it just keeps that moisture in there. And are you steaming it? Yeah. Do you have to sear a roast like that?
I don't think so.
I don't either.
No, not when you're going to 190 and it's going to be in that moist environment. You're going to lose any crust you had anyway with the moisture that's in there.
I used to sear everything, and anymore I don't bother. Because I don't know that it does any good.
Yeah. So coming up next, we're going to continue with a little bit of Dutch oven, then I'm sure we'll go to a skillet or two. We'll be right back.